Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And this chapter introduces one of my favorite kings in the Old Testament, Hezekiah. Verse 1 tells us he was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. Now remember that his father Ahaz had sealed up the temple doors and smashed up all the furniture so that nobody could worship him. But verse 3 tells us the first thing he did when he became king was to open the doors of the temple and repair them. Verse 3 says, in the first month of the first year of his reign, he opened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites, assembled them in the square on the east side, and said, "Listen to me, Levites. Consecrate yourselves now and consecrate the temple of the Lord, the God of your ancestors. Remove all defilement from the sanctuary. Our parents were unfaithful. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord and forsook him. They turned their faces away from the Lord's dwelling place and turned their back on him. They also shut the doors of the portico and snuffed out the lamps. They did not burn incense or present any burnt offerings at the sanctuary to the God of Israel. Therefore, the anger of the Lord has fallen on Judah and Jerusalem. He has made them an object of dread and horror and scorn, as you can see with your own eyes. This is why our fathers have fallen by the sword, and why our sons and daughters and our wives are in captivity. Now, I intend to make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel, so that his fierce anger may turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him and serve him and minister before him and to burn incense." Hezekiah was determined to follow God, if nothing else, so they could stop getting punished. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I just got so tired of life kicking my butt or getting my butt kicked by sin that I finally said, "Enough. I can't take any more of this trying to do things my own way." And in those moments, I was like Hezekiah, who realized this way just isn't working. Well, when Hezekiah realized that, he set about cleaning house, and I mean that literally. He cleaned the house of God from top to bottom, but first, he needed the Levites cleaned up themselves. He wanted the Levites cleaned up because in this we see a picture of heaven. You see, God's house, heaven, is holy and clean, and God cannot dwell, the Bible says, in the presence of sin. Now, I'm currently doing a lot of work around my house at the moment. Could you imagine me if I broke through a sewage pipe and got showered with muck and filth and everybody's business, and afterwards just waltzed through the house, sat down on the sofa, and picked up the remote control? I think my wife's head would split in two, and out of it would ride the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And I'm not kidding, my wife would kill me. In fact, I'd probably kill me. I'm so housebroken after nearly 25 years of marriage. If you don't let someone who stepped in dog muck walk across your carpet, why do you think God would allow the presence of sin into heaven, into his house? Hezekiah gets this. So he makes the Levites clean up. Consecrate yourselves. That means set yourselves apart. Cleanse yourselves. It's time to get to work again, boys. And he opened those doors, flinging them open like Willy Wonka after many years, and told the Oompa Loompa Levites to get in there and start making chocolate. Incense. But verse 13 tells us that after consecrating themselves, they were now ready to cleanse the temple. They started way out in the Kidron Valley, where the blood of the sacrifices ran down from the temple. And it took them 8 days to purify the road, because every few steps after scrubbing and cleaning, they would offer a sacrifice. And this was the very road that pilgrims traveled up to the temple to worship. In fact, the book of Psalms has a whole section called the Songs of Ascent, and they were actually written as worship songs for those making the pilgrimage to Jerusalem for Passover. So even the way leading up to the temple needed to be cleansed. Well, that took 8 days. And after those 8 days, they arrived at the temple steps, and then they started cleansing the temple from top to bottom. Then it was time to get the worship party started. And in verse 31, They called for all those who were willing to bring their offerings, and they were so many that they couldn't actually handle them all. Verse 32 tells us the number of burnt offerings the assembly brought was 70 bulls, 100 rams, and 200 male lambs, all of them for burnt offerings to the Lord. The animals consecrated as sacrifices amounted to 600 bulls and 3,000 sheep and goats. The priests, however, were too few to skin all the burnt offerings, so their relatives, the Levites, helped them until the task was finished and until other priests had been consecrated, for the Levites had been more conscientious in consecrating themselves than the priests had been. There were burnt offerings in abundance, together with the fat of the fellowship offerings and the drink offerings that accompanied the burnt offerings. So the service of the temple of the Lord was reestablished. Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced at what God had brought about for his people because it was done so quickly. Well, this clearly felt like a new beginning for Jerusalem. By this time, Judah had been raided so much under the rule of Ahaz, Hezekiah's father, that there were only a few city fortresses left. Lachish was one of them, which we'll hear more of in the coming chapters, and Jerusalem, and a few others. But although the country was ravaged by raiders, armies, and outsiders inside the wall of Jerusalem, God was renewing his people. That may have been what inspired Paul to write about us as believers. Although outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. On the outside, Jerusalem looked like it was doing poorly. But on the inside, there was a party. The people rediscovered God, and in it, they rediscovered worship and their purpose. How cool is that, to be experiencing joy and peace and love in your heart because of the love that God has for you? You know, you can have a private worship party wherever you are. It doesn't matter your external circumstances. You could be at the DMV, and I shudder to think about you at the DMV. But you can worship God and take Him with you. You can worship Him walking down the beach. You can even worship Him in a dentist chair. Believe it or not. I often ponder the mysteries of the universe as I'm walking through a city, riding on a bus, or passing others on the street. I sometimes have times in my life where I'll look at a stranger. God will give me an incredible compassion for them, and I'll think, I'm experiencing the love of the Creator of the universe right now in my life. I mean, He's pouring His love into my heart in a very real way, and I want them to know Him. I want them to know what I know, to feel what I feel, to experience the person that I'm experiencing. This is what Jesus meant when He said we should be shining like a city upon a hill in the darkness. The celebration in our hearts so great that the singing could be heard from this worship party from miles around, and rather than becoming a byword of the other nations, a warning to them, we become a testimony, the envy of the people around us. You see, whereas God had made under Ahaz, Judah, an object of dread and horror that you could see with your own eyes, Hezekiah says, yet now they would be a people to be envied. Have you learned to worship wherever you are and make lifestyle of worship not just 30 minutes on a Sunday? That's where it's at.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.